You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's racing. On this edition, you'll hear it all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:25pm with myself, Mark Walton, in the studio with Craig Forsyth and Ollie Pimlott. A big day to look forward to as well, with the 1,000 guineas, the feature race at Newmarket. A very good card to look forward to there, and two good supporting cards as well, with action at Hamilton and Salisbury. So plenty to look forward to. And joining me in the studio to do so is Mr. James Millman. How are you, James?
Yeah, pretty good. Thank you, Mark.
Good. Pretty good weekend, all in all, really, isn't it?
Yeah, nice to see the Flat Jockeys Championship starting this weekend.
Yeah,
and
about time.
Some proper good racing.
Yeah. We're going to have a quick look at some of the news and some of the action from the Punchestown Festival before we get stuck into Sunday's action. So we'll start with yesterday at Punchestown. Another good day for Willie Mullins. Faheen, very impressive in his success. And Nicholas Canyon, putting a good performance as well.
Yeah, well, Faheen, as expected, I think he was 6-1 on yesterday. But he's probably his most impressive yet.
Yeah.
Hard to know exactly what he achieved. I'd obviously had a heavy fall at Aintree, and how much his confidence was dented by that, we don't actually know. But put him firmly in his place. And realistically, of anything that's run against Faheen this year, nothing is really going to challenge him next year. So I think domination awaits for 2015-2016 season.
He's unbeaten in 10 now. Perfect 10. And the way he won that, like you say, it could be a series of years now of domination, because if you look at what he did with Hurricane Flying, the same race, won that four times, and Faheen arguably more impressive.
Definitely, and the probably key thing as well is the fact that he's trained by William Mullins, owned by Rich Ritchie. Most of his perhaps opposition are going to be owned and trained by exactly the same person, so they're not going to be too keen to run against him either. So if, I think, Paul Nichols, Nick Henson, etc., trained a lot of the opposition, then perhaps he would face a little bit more rivalry. But with those owners and the connections very much keen to keep them all apart, I don't really see him being challenged for a fair while yet.
Anything else stand out to you at Punchestown?
Well, Nicholas Canyon, he was impressive as well. More so the fact that he's done all three. He a little bit too keen at Cheltenham, which I think got him beat there. But impressive at Aintree and impressive again yesterday. Kicked off that home bend and went away. Whether he could challenge for Faheen, I think it would be doubtful. But he's a very, very good horse in his own right, and I think you might well see him on the flat as well at some point, as he's still unexposed on the level. So he was impressive on the fringe as well. He got a hat-trick. He actually won all three races at the three festivals. Got a little bit tired at the end. I think that's enough for him. He's ready for a break. But he's dominated the Hunter Chase Sphere, and three very good rides by Nina Carberry, as usual.
Yes. So that's a bit of news from the world of jumping then. On the flats, Jack Hobbs, who was very impressive last time we saw him, his next target will be the Dante, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Very, very impressive, wasn't he? 12-length winner at Sandland Handicap Company. And he did it with ease. John Gosden's got some very useful three-year-olds. He knows where he stands this one. I think Frankie was very impressed when he got off. And, yeah, no surprise for him to go for the Dante. And we'll find out more against proper grip race opposition. But to win a handicap like that was seriously impressive.
Yeah, the old group horse in a handicap sprung to mind afterwards.
Well, certainly. Yeah. I think he's gone up to 108. I think he went up £32 or something stupid. But handicap's obviously no longer an option for him. But yeah. He looks at a very, very nice horse.
Bit of news about Timmy Murphy as well. He switches to the flat on Wednesday. Another jockey that's going from the jumps to the flat. Do you see him having success?
He's probably left it a little bit late age-wise compared to Graham Lee. And Jim Crowley have probably been the two most successful converters from jumps to flat. But up north, Mickey O'Connell, PJ McDonald have also managed to make the switch. And he's a very, very good jockey, very, very talented. Whether it's more the injuries, the shoulders can't take too many more falls. He's always been a reasonably light lad to me, Murphy. So what weight he'll actually get down to for the flat, I'm not too sure. But it'd be a little bit of a different regime for him trying to lose weight all the time rather than riding at 10 stone over jumps, which he probably found very, very easy. It's a tough game to get into the flats. It won't be easy just to walk straight in, because It isn't easy, and like I say, Graham Lee and Jim Crowley probably stolen most of the perhaps the jump connections that have to flat runners. So interesting to see where he goes, where who he rides out for, but a very, very talented jockey, and I'm sure he'll be riding plenty of winners.
Yeah, obviously you wear a flat jockey. Mm-hmm. Would you recommend more jumps jockeys switch?
Basically, it's the weight. Yeah. Most of them can't do it because of the weight. For me, if you can do the weight, flat's by far the better option, because you, I think in jumps you fall off 1 and 8, and flat's about 1 and 250. So for me, injury-wise, if you can you can waste away, then get your weight down and ride in a flat. But for most jump jockeys, they struggle to do 10 stone, so it's not even an option, because realistically you've got to ride at 9 stone to have any chance of a career on the flat. And that's where most jump jockeys fail. They just can't physically do the weight, whereas Jim Crowley, Graham Lee are pretty small lads anyway that had to bulk up as such to do 10 stone, whereas on a flat they're wasting to do an 8 stone 9. But most jump jockeys, it's not an option, so it's not really something you can say, oh, just riding a flat. Like I say, AP McCoy probably would have stayed in the flat. He was apprentice to Jim Bolger, but weight told for him. I think he would have probably dominated the flat sphere if he'd been light enough.
Mm. Okay, anything else caught your eye in the news or anything?
Not particularly. I think we'll have a few more stories after this weekend. Hopefully we'll see some impressive winners of the 2,000 and 1,000 guineas respectively. And hopefully there won't be controversy on Monday. Perhaps the new draw system at Newmarket might cause a few issues in running with the rails being tightened up and then opened up inside the final couple of furlongs. But we will see what happens.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that works. But let's leave that there and we'll move on to Sunday's action. We'll get James's best bets in four of the races at Newmarket.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Big day to look forward to with the 1,000 guineas of the feature race, but we're going to start in the 225, which is a Fillies Group 2. It's the Dahlia Stakes. It's over a mile and one furlong, a field of nine here, James. And Fintry looks interesting, given her Group 1 form at the back end of last season.
Yeah, definitely. She's a selection because Andre Farb won the race last year of Esterique, and he brings Fintry over for the Dahlia Stakes, and she's got the best form in the race. RPI 116 at the back end of last year. You wouldn't imagine Andre Farb bringing her over if she needed a run. You'd imagine she's going to be pretty spot on to make the trip over to the UK. Mikel Barcelona, obviously got a lot of stick when riding for Godolphin, and he takes the ride, and I think he'll be very happy to get a winner back on British shores. And realistically, she looks the best filly in the race. And Bragging, probably the second best in. So Michael Stout's horses tend to need their first run of the season, so you'd imagine she'll improve for the outing. But I think she could be a real nice filly this year and probably keep an eye on for the future. But I think Flintry is likely to be the most fittest of those that are making their reappearance. We've got a few that are running near Weather, Lady Dutch and Lamar, but you wouldn't think they'd be good enough despite the fact that they've got race fitness on their side. Rosina, another very, very useful filly. She makes her seasonal debut. She missed a run at Sandown last week because she wasn't quite 100% ready. And again, you think she probably need to run and improve. So I think Flintry looks like a very, very good chance in a very competitive group too.
Mm. Just looking through the previous winners here as well. You mentioned Bragging in passing there. So Michael Stout's got a great record in the race. He's won it five times since 2007.
Yeah, could well have a proper spot on. Like, generally, the horses have needed the first run this year,
yeah.
Sir Michael's, but he can get them ready if that's the particular target. And interesting, but I think Flintry is probably the better filly out of the two, to be honest.
Okay, Flintry for James then in the 225. The 3 o'clock is the next race we're going to look at. This is a Class 2 handicap over six furlongs. We have a field of 23 here, James, so a nice, easy contest for you.
Definitely, and the draw will be key. For me, you're probably going to find out more from today's racing. Obviously, we record before Saturday's racing as to where the best place to be is. So I'll pick one from drawn high, one from drawn low. One high is Secret in the Park for Robert Cowell. He looks the type that Robert could do extremely well with. He was a frustrating individual last year, but he's got course and distance form. He's not badly weighted, I don't think, off a mark of 94. And like I say, Robert Cowell does do very, very well with sprinters he gets hold of from other stables. So he could be the one if high numbers are favoured from stall 20. From those drawn low, quite like Huntsman's Close, made a winning debut for Roger Charlton last year. He's a tricky customer, but fresh might be the best time to get him. He's drawn down in stall 3, so if those on the stand side are favoured, then perhaps he could be the one. But I'd say we'll know more when we see what happens with the draw in today's racing.
Okay, a couple to consider then. In the 3 o'clock, the 3:40 is the big race of the afternoon. It's the Kipco 1000 Guineas Stakes. It's a fillies group one for the three-year-olds. It's over a mile. We have a field of 13 for this year's renewal. The market headed by Lucida, who's 4-1, 6-1 for Fed Ale. Jellicle Ball is 7s with Legitissimo and Osela. 8-1 for Qualify. Malabar is 9s and 10s or bigger for the others. Who'd you like for the second classic of the season?
Yeah, it was interesting. The fact that Found, unfortunately, doesn't run probably opens up the race a fair bit because no filly particularly stands out. And Lucida for Jim Bolger probably has the best form over these kind of trips. Tiggy Wiggy, obviously the star two-year-old, but she looked like a pure sprinter for me. And trying to hold on to her didn't work in the Fred Darling. I think you have to just let her rock and roll. But will she stay a mile doing that? I think that's probably quite doubtful. So Tiggy Wiggy for me, I think you're going to have to ignore. I thought that Fred Darling was a pretty strong race, so I liked the way Rafe Beckett's Red Start got the job done. Perhaps a little bit flattered from getting a good ride from Pat Dobbs at the front, and in a race that was pretty steady runners, they were quite keen to get Tiggy Wiggy racing a little bit too keenly. But she still got the job done, and she could be an each way option. But I like the runner up, Jellicle Ball, with John Gosden, who was well touted on the back of a win at Kempton on the weather on her debut last year as a two-year-old. She ran some very, very fast sectionals, and she's probably just not sharp enough over 7 furlongs against Group Fillies first time back, but she stayed on really, really strongly. She got an educational ride as such. She was held up and stayed on strongly, and I think she's the one to be on at about 7-1, was it, Jellicle Ball?
Yeah.
So that's the one for me in the 1,000 guineas, but I'd say a very open race with Found not running, and perhaps not the strongest 1,000 guineas we'll ever see.
Okay, Jellicle Ball then for James in the 1,000 guineas. And the final race we look at is the 4:50 at Newmarket, which is the Pretty Polly Stakes, a filly's listed race over a mile and a quarter. This one's also for the three-year-olds. And several of these come into this with a one next to their name most recently. James, which one comes on first this afternoon?
Yeah, this is tricky stuff because most of these fillies are inexperienced. They're going to improve plenty as they step up in trip and get a bit of a few more runs behind them. Winter's Moon got the best form in the race, but she's a tad exposed, and I think some might progress past. So the one I'm going to go for is 40, Rafe Beckett's filly. She showed good form last year. Two starts in the weather were pretty useful, and a good sixth last time out. She's not got too much to find in the ratings, and Rafe Beckett does extremely well with three-year-old fillies, so 40 will be the section. Interested to see how Dermot Weld's Xander gets on. Impressive winner 3 weeks ago. First-time visor on today, which suggests that she perhaps wasn't doing everything correctly when she won last time out, and Dermot Weld wouldn't race to run coming over to the UK. So Xander is the interesting one, but Forte will be the selection.
OK, Forte for James then. In that one, this race won last year by Tegrudy. Do you think we'll find a similarly good filly in it?
Yeah, possibly. And like I say, this kind of time of year, we don't know too much about the potential Oaks fillies, because generally the 1,000 guineas runners don't really stay the trip. So this race, I think, will be more likely to produce a Oaks winner, perhaps, than the 3:40.
OK. Right, let's have a quick summary then, James, if you wouldn't mind, spinning us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, good day's racing to look forward to at Newmarket tomorrow. And we've gone for Flintree in the Dahlia Stakes. I think Andrew Farb won it last year at Esterik, and he can make it back-to-back successes with Mika Barcelona riding this filly. In the 3 o'clock, the big 23-runner sprint. We don't know which way the draw is going to be favoured, so I've gone one drawn high, one drawn low. Secret in the Park is drawn 20 for Robert Cowell. He tends to improve his sprinters. Drawn low is Huntsman's Close for Roger Charlton. One from each side. Hopefully we'll get the winner. The 1,000 guineas itself, Jellicle Ball for John Gosden's selection. Sit on nicely in the Fred Darling at Newbury. Stepping up to a mile with suit. And she's the one for me in a trappy 1,000 guineas. And then finally in the Pretty Polly, I've gone for 40 for Rafe Beckett.
Superb. Thank you very much, James. Good luck and enjoy on Sunday.
Thank you very much.
There you go, the thoughts of James Millman on Sunday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:25pm with myself, Mark Walton, Craig Forsyth and Ollie Pimlott in the studio. It's 1,000 guineas day at Newmarket. Good racing from Hamilton and Salisbury as well. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.